This is Leo for KTWH, Two Harbors Community Radio. It's the second week of February. The warm-up is in progress right now after kind of a significant cold wave, and the organizers of the Two Harbors Winter Frolic are probably happy that the weather is swinging back to middle ground. Is that right, Erin Mecklen? I have you on the line from the credit union to talk about all things Winter Frolic.
Yeah, we are excited to see a warmer weekend this year. Last year was a little frigid, so we're excited to see temperatures in the 20s and some fresh snow to make everything look good for Winter Frolic this weekend.
Yeah, I think last night's snowfall in town probably painted some dinginess up with a nice coat of white again, and it looks good, and hopefully it holds up. You've got things, you had events that definitely depend upon the weather, some of them are indoors. Erin, there's so much happening. Why don't I just let you take me on a tour of Winter Frolic? But before we do, I did want to try to remember historically how long we've actually been trying to do a Winter Frolic in Two Harbors. I never get a straight answer from the folks about the Heritage Days. Do you have any better sense of, you know, when was Winter Frolic founded and when did it have to take a break for a pandemic and stuff like that?
Yeah, you know, I know that the actual Historical Society was just sharing a post recently saying that the initial Winter Frolic started in like 1886.
Really?
I don't know if that's in Two Harbors. I think it's 1937 is when it came to Two Harbors, according to Lake County Historical Society. As far as recently, you know, it's been downtown. It moved up to the Curling Club for a while. We took a few years off with COVID, and now we're back downtown the last 2 years, and it's been great to be downtown, back on First Avenue, and being able to incorporate all the businesses down there.
Right.
Plus, we still do, obviously, do some things up at the Curling Club. Rather than the whole weekend, though, we kind of split it between the two.
So that's mainly the two sites for all the action are the Curling Club and then downtown. And it's kind of the focus on Friday is pretty much at the Curling Club, except for some music in the evening, I believe, downtown.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, over the whole weekend, there's a few things that are kind of around town. So Dairy Queen does their yearly medallion hunt.
Oh, yeah.
You can get the Dairy Queen clues on their Facebook page and on Winter Frolic Facebook. And then I think it's $100 you win from Dairy Queen if you find the medallion. The Sliding Hill goes on all weekend. That should be up and ready to go by the end of this week. And then we also have a Winter Frolic raffle. Local businesses donate prizes, and we just sell raffle tickets throughout the events all weekend, and then we do a drawing on Saturday night for all of those.
So, Erin, do folks find the tickets for sale wherever there's frolic activity, like on First Avenue and or at the Curling Club? There's somebody there catching your attention, selling tickets?
Yep. So on Friday, we'll have somebody at the Curling Club, and then on Saturday at the Moose Lodge, as well as at the American Legion, selling some Winter Frolic gear as well as those raffle tickets.
Oh, Winter Frolic themed. We call it swag here at the station. Okay, merch.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. And then there's a photo scavenger hunt, which is a new concept to me. Lake County Historical Society, is this something you can describe?
Yeah, so in the past years, Cedar Coffee has actually put on the scavenger hunt. And
right.
Lake County Historical Society took it on this year, so you can pick up your list at the Historical Society at the depot downtown. And you go around and you take a picture of yourself with various items. I know in the past it's been usually some sort of vintage item like a cassette tape or a record player, and you might find yourself at the antique store. Otherwise, sometimes it's a snowmobile or something winter themed that would have to do with Winter Frolic, but it kind of takes you around town to all the different landmarks we have in town.
Terrific. I suppose it could take you into the Historical Society facilities themselves for some of them, but we used to have some big historical photos in some of our storefronts. I'm mixing things up, but I don't know if that's the case. You're saying basically people are given a list of things they have to take essentially selfies with.
Yeah, so I know my daughter did it a few years ago, and they had to get like a picture with a law enforcement officer, or they had to get a picture with cassette tape. Go dig
now
out
that,
my old cassette tape.
Now that might be tough. You might have to go into in an attic or a garage. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. Or with a pet, or with a train. So there's lots of different things, and I'm not sure what the Historical Society has on their plans, but you can pick that up at the depot or on First Avenue at our info booth at the American Legion on Saturday morning.
Fantastic. And I guess this is something that might have been gone overlooked. There's an ongoing coloring contest as well for the young of all ages, but probably for the young.
Yeah, and that is a new event this year that Northern Rail Train Car approached us with, and we're excited that they decided to add in something else that the kids can do. So you can pick up your coloring contest at the Two Harbors Public Library, or you can print it off our website, Two Harbors Winter Frolic. And you just turn that in by Friday, and then they are doing their contest, and we'll announce winners either Friday night or Saturday.
Excellent. So, Erin, let's hone in on Friday. We're expecting good weather, and that yet a lot of it's going to be perhaps indoors at the Curling Club, where there's the Community Curling Challenge. Can you describe that in a nutshell?
Yeah, so the Community Curling Challenge started about 10 years ago, I'd say, a little bit less. It's kind of a spin on off of a bond spiel, which is a curling tournament.
Right.
We take community members and have community teams. So Two Harbors Federal Credit Union has a team, which we usually do every year. A couple others are Holden Electric and Laboni. And we put together this little mini bond spiel, try and encourage people that have never curled before to try out curling. And it's just kind of a fun contest. And in the center of it, there's the chili cook-off going on, which is open to anyone to come in and watch curling and sample some great chili at the same time.
And I imagine that Community Curling Challenge, the formal, the teams are already registered. The Bonspiel part of it is different than the kind of giving people a sampler of curling. Those are kind of two different things going on at the same time.
Yeah, so it's, you do have to pre-register your teams,
okay.
But the whole spirit of it is to get people that haven't curled before into curling. And so we kind of encourage you to have a rookie team, which means you'd have two people on your team that have not curled before.
That's not necessary, but
it kind of gets businesses to kind of do a friendly competition out there.
Now, I was just curious if these are four or five person teams? I can't remember my curling rules.
Yep. No, 4-person teams.
And if they were all rookies, that would be quite a project, wouldn't it?
That has happened before in the past, yes.
Okay, and everybody looks out for them because there's a lot going on.
We've never had injuries, but you got to be careful when you're on the ice.
My efforts to do that resulted in me hitting the ice pretty hard, so I appreciate the tips that people can give to the novices to avoid that. And all the while, there's a chili cook-off, which is primarily between local restaurateurs.
This is mainly amongst restaurants.
Okay.
They are serving the chili to everyone to sample, and then you vote on your favorite chili of the night, and then they get to go home with a trophy. And that's put on by Park State Bank and Harbor Insurance, and we're happy to have that event back this year as they did take a couple of years off in the past years. So
people have bragging rights after this for at least a year.
Yep, I think the last winner was actually our local Louise's place, so I'm hoping they're coming back again.
They are coming back to defend. Okay.
I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure they are, but I'm hoping that they'll be there. So
great. The same time, I assume the curling goes on well into the evening, but there are music events happening downtown. I see live music with Swamp Donkey 8 to midnight, and Castle Danger Brewery has Hannah Ray from 6 to 8 p.m. So there is some action down on First Avenue as well.
Yes, there is. And then after all that music wraps up, they start prepping First Avenue with snow, the city does, and then we're all set for our outdoor activities on Saturday.
And there is the whole while a sledding hill. Maybe that's sledding hills in place by Friday already. But it's happening on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that should probably be up and running by the end of this week. So.
Okay, good. Yep. So the sledding hill is people who have kids that are antsy that need to get sledding. They need to go exactly where for the sledding hill? Is it by the depot?
Yeah, but it is just below the depot, below the train track. So you're sledding out towards the ore docks there in the bay.
Yeah,
so.
towards the water, towards that frozen water. Yeah. Okay.
Yep, but it's right there.
Why don't you give me the landscape, what the unique races are that happen on First Avenue on Saturday morning?
Yeah, so Saturday is kind of a whole variety of activities, indoor and outdoor. So the Moose Lodge events, we have our vendor fair all day, which we are doing a COVID booster clinic that day as well from 9 to 1.
Great.
And the same time, there will be a pancake breakfast going on at the Moose. So it's a good place to check out some local vendors and have breakfast and get all filled up before you head outside. And we'll have the sledding hill going as well as a bonfire by the sledding hill so you can make s'mores during the day.
Great.
And then down on First Avenue. We will have a lot of different events to just kind of watch and have going on. Starting out with, we're doing carriage rides this year from the Moose down to the Sledding Hill. So it'll be kind of like a way to get yourself to the other side of the activity. And those are free to anyone who wants to take a carriage ride.
Wow.
And then First Avenue, there'll be free cocoa and coffee at North Shore Tidal. There's going to be kids karaoke in the afternoon at Harbor Rail. There's going to be John Gage out on the street doing some chainsaw carving. And then we're trying a new event with Hammerschlagen that Craig Sawmill is going to be putting on.
Can you tell me anything about that? Hammerschlagen. Schlagen is the hit something.
Yeah, it's a new thing. I didn't really know anything about it until this year as well. And it's apparently a big round cut of a large log. And you're supposed to only use one hand to try and hammer in a big spike. And sometimes it's done as like a team sport, so you only get one whack at it at a time. I'm not really sure how they're planning on running it, but I'm kind of excited just to have the event out there for something for people to do.
So it's a team sport where they're handing the hammer off, taking one whack at it. And oh my God, this could be could be kind of humorous with some, I don't know how big this darn hammer is or the nail. Wow.
No, yeah. And like I said, it's kind of one of those new things that people do, and we're just going to give it a try this year and see how it is. Give us one more activity to do on First Avenue before we start those races at 1 o'clock.
I was wrong by saying that the races were in the morning. Actually, some of this other activity is you got a full slate in the morning, and then the races are starting at 1. Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, I would say, most of First Avenue won't be busy until about 12 o'clock. We try and do a lot of those types of activities in the afternoon just because of the weather, and make sure that it's kind of all at the same time, because it's hard to stay outside for that long time on a Saturday in February. So
yeah, and catching the sun, if it's a good sunny day, you're going to get the maximum solar energy from like 1 to 3 p.m., so that's a great time. I see that there's a beanbag tournament also listed up here at the Landing, apparently.
No, it is downtown.
It's
sponsored by the Landing. Yeah,
oh, I see. Held outside.
And they set up right outside of Madeira downtown on First Avenue.
So they do
the beanbag tournament right on First Avenue. And again, that doesn't start till noon, which I think you can still register a team. It's just that we can only close half the street before noon. The other half has to stay open till noon.
I see. For these things like the tournament that has a beanbag pre-registration, do you mean that could be registered that morning, or do people need to get registered
now? No, they need to contact Landing. I think they want them signed up by the end of this week, so that way they can get all the teams set and know how many they're going to have. So
all right.
Make sure you reach out to the Landing if you're interested in throwing some bags on Saturday.
Great. That's about my skill level. Nobody gets hurt, and I'm just embarrassed myself. But some of these other races involve a certain amount of coordination and skill. So I thought maybe I'd have you lead us through what happens starting at 1 p.m. with the different races.
Yeah, so at 1 p.m. we kind of kick it off with the firemen kid races. So the firemen come down and run their standard kid races they like to do. Running, pulling a sled, racing for the cannapop at the end of the line. So they have a variety of races they put on, and then we'll move on to our smush races, which is kind of a tradition here in town, which again requires pre-registration.
Okay.
And you want to register those teams by Friday as well.
Erin, is that pre-registration done on the website, or?
Yep, so they can message us through Facebook. There's a link on the website, or they can reach out straight to Park State Bank or Harbor Insurance and register through them. So I know they are looking for some more teams. And
it's
called cash prizes. So
people can actually walk into the business and register or call them.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
They can do that.
So a smush race involves how many people strapped to 2x4s?
Yep, that's 4 people with 2x4s. You got to nail your shoes down to the 2x4s so that way you can run in tandem and go from one end, turn around, and come back again.
But you don't really mean we're destroying a pair of shoes by nailing.
You are destroying a pair of shoes.
You are. Oh, my.
You are.
Okay.
So that's why it's a pre-registration thing, because you need to find your old pair of shoes, make sure that you can get your feet in there. And
so theoretically, you're stepping out of your comfy pack boots and into the race shoes that are already on the 2x4s.
Okay. Yep.
You're not screwing them in on the spot that morning or that afternoon.
No. That is why it's pre-registration. We haven't quite figured out a great way to get preset smush boards up yet. Well, we've been thinking about it. So
So are there teams out there, based on what you've seen before, Aaron, are there teams out there that actually practice this, or are some people just figuring out how crazy this is the day of the race?
Some do practice, and some just show up and see what happens. So it all depends.
They need to be rowing in the same direction, right? Or they embarrass themselves.
Exactly.
A good time will be had by all, and bring your phones and take pictures of your favorite team.
Yes.
Great.
Yep.
Okay. And then, of course, there's the legend of the outhouse race. It used to be often custom-made outhouses just for racing, but now it's something more.
Yep. Yeah. So we did, we were trying to bring back the outhouse races, and we figured the best way to do that was to have outhouses that were on a level playing field exactly the same and were available for the teams, so that way they don't have to pre-register.
Yeah.
Anyone who shows up with a team of two can run the outhouse race, and they're sponsored by our local septic punters, Larson Septic and Superior Septic, and so you can compete against the septic pumping companies. So any two people can sign up to race, and that again is cash prizes as well.
So to visualize this, people will be holding in each hand a long piece of wood that's supporting an outhouse built just for the occasion of this race.
Yes. And they're on skis, and it's all set up and ready to go. So you just have to grab onto I think we have a dowel through there to push in. You just push it down, turn around, come back. So it's whoever can run the fastest pushing an outhouse.
And there are no obstacles. There are no hurdles
or
stream crossings. No moose.
It depends if you guys run the same distance or not, or one's faster than the other.
So. And you promise that the outhouses are all to the same specs within a few pounds of each other. Nobody's putting a pile of bricks
pretty,
in one of them.
Identical. So.
Yeah. I could see the mean-spirited trying to sneak some weights into their opponents' outhouses, but that doesn't happen in Two Harbors. Yeah. And then there is, speaking of something that's competitive, a tug of war. A tug of war in winter could be really interesting for footing. It's going to happen on snow.
So that's a team of five, and that's put on by our friends of Edna G with cash prizes as well. And it's a big old tugboat rope, so it's a big thick rope, and that's what we use for our tug of war.
Teams of five, and hopefully there isn't any slush developed so that everybody, even the losers, don't get too beat up.
The snow can be a little treacherous, but that's what makes it a little bit more fun. So
a little bit a step above just a nice summer day tug of war. Speaking of a cut above what we're used to, the frozen fish toss kind of reminds me of the concept of the lutefisk toss that happens at Heritage Days, but in the cold with frozen fish. Is this a new one? I don't know that we've seen that before.
Yeah, we have two new races this year. So the frozen fish toss is kind of figuring it out as we go, but we are getting frozen fish from a local person, and it'll be a whole fish. And then you'll have the other teammate will have a container to try and catch the fish in. So, that's see how far you can throw it and catch it. That's where we're going with that. And then the other new race is the keg relay, which is put on by Castle Danger Brewery. And that's going to be a team of four. And I'm not really sure how they're setting it up, but essentially you'll be running with a keg on your back and in the snow. So that'd be an interesting task as well.
An empty keg. Or should I?
Yes,
I have to bother to say that? Because some people would.
It'd be pretty heavy if it was a full keg.
I know, but some people would say that if the prize was a full keg, that they would be willing to try it to the winner. Anyway, Aaron, that's very interesting. The frozen fish toss, though, that's a wrinkle. That's not like the lutefisk toss where they are trying to toss it into a bucket sitting on the ground. You're saying that it's teamwork between the tosser and the person holding the bucket. So you could have a pretty crummy toss, but if you have a really good bucket person, they could still catch it.
Exactly.
This could be interesting. Wow.
Yep.
Looking forward to seeing that. Thanks. How does the day wrap up on Saturday? We've had a very full itinerary of contests now.
Yeah, so the day wraps up at the Moose Lodge again. The vendor fair goes on until 5 p.m. Nacho Business will be in their kitchen from 3 to 7, I think it is, or 3 till somewhere in the evening, serving their food.
And where will they be stationed?
They're going to be inside the Moose Lodge at their kitchen.
Oh, they're going to be indoors. Good for them.
Yep, and then we will have the Winter Frolic Raffle at 7 p.m., kicking off the Northwoods Band, which will be finishing out the night for us at the Moose Lodge.
All right. And that's where the winter frolic will come to a roaring conclusion, is at about 11 p.m. whenever the guys finally stop playing in the Northwoods
band. Yeah, it just all depends. You never know with those guys. Sometimes
you don't.
They like to keep going,
so. No, they've kept one of our cabin fevers going into overtime, we called it, which is a nice way to end. Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
so we have a lot going on this year, and, you know, obviously it's thanks to a lot of sponsors. We have some really great sponsors and new partakers in our activities this year. So it's been great to add a lot to our lineup, and we hope to keep adding every year.
Indeed. Maybe we should give a shout out to those who are giving you special assistance, like the Two Harbors Public Works. And who did you say is helping with the sledding hill this year?
So the City of Two Harbors, they help us out a lot. Obviously, we got in snow on First Avenue, and then they had some help from Judy's Cafe and Two Harbors Towing in setting up the sledding hill and hauling snow down there to get that all set and ready to go. So they're kind of our behind-the-scenes guys, and we appreciate all their help in getting this city event going.
Well, fantastic. Thank you so much for giving us a tour of this. It was a pretty nice tour, Erin. I appreciate it a lot.
Yeah, no problem. And I look forward to seeing everybody at the Winter Frolic this weekend.
All right. We've been speaking with Erin Mecklen. What is your title, by the way? Are you the Grand Poobah?
Well, my work title is Director of Member Engagement here at Two Harbors Federal Credit Union. Otherwise, I am the Winter Frolic Chair this year.
Excellent. First time at it, or have you?
This is my second year of taking kind of full reins on coordination. Deb Ruberg had done it in the past, so she needed to step back for a few years. So I guess it kind of got put on me, and it's been going good. It's obviously a lot of work, but it's one of those festivals that I think is important to our area.
Definitely, and it's not that many people that are going to step up when needed, and thank you for doing that, Erin. You take care.
You too.
Bye now, and have a great winter frolic.
Oh, thank you.
Bye. Erin Mecklen, as you heard, at the Two Harbors Federal Credit Union, but this weekend heading up the Two Harbors Winter Frolic that is back in full force down on First Avenue and at the Two Harbors Curling Club this weekend. This is Leo for KTWH.